Yeah! You know what I don't like about that? That you are on their team. I thought we're in this together. I thought that we're supposed to be partners, co-host, the Travis and Sliwa show, that you immediately jump to Sedano's side kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised or shocked that next time you see Amanda, you say, hey, just because of the length of the Travis and Sliwa show, I think we should trim it down. By the way, here's a great idea. I trimmed down my Instagram posts. Alan wasn't in the picture, but his laptop was there. AD was there, and I was there.
Yeah.
So it's not about me joining another show and agreeing with them. It's about you basically taking me out of the mix.
That's exactly what I did. I was about to say, I tagged you in the pictures. You weren't in the pictures, but I did tag you in them.
That might be the greatest thing I've heard. You're not actually in the photo,
no.
But it says at Alan Sliwa. Like,
right. And I said that you were there. I said it was me talking basketball with a couple of guys, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, if you're into that kind of thing. And you were there too.
Does it feel weird that, you know, over a short period of time, I've become the baseball guy on the show?
Well, you keep saying that. I haven't heard anything to let me believe that. But you
I mean,
keep
listen,
saying
I don't
it.
Want to go back to the whole Scherzer or Bueller in a one-game playoff, and then Dave Roberts listens
you
to
right
us and says,
that.
"You know what, Al? Let's go with Al on the Scherzer
this.
Thing." Okay, wait.
You
I'm
were
not
right
done.
About that. I'll
I'm
give
not
you
done.
That one. Okay.
Let me go another step That's, further.
There is no more. But
there's,
go ahead.
There's a step further.
All right.
You wanted Walker Bueller not to start yesterday.
I did,
and I understand your theory behind it. The best scenario played out for the Dodgers yesterday. I know wins at this point, yes, it's you're still in the hunt, but the reality is you and I don't think they're going to make up two games over the next five games because the Giants just will not let go of the NL West,
really
right?
Yeah.
Like just kind of
it's
with all
remarkable.
With all that being said. But I thought the best scenario played out yesterday. Walker Bueller had an awful September. Awful. Four straight starts. Well, two of them weren't that bad. But just games that
they
you
weren't
thought
him. He wasn't himself.
Wasn't him, yeah. Right? So the San Francisco game was bad. The Rockies game was bad. Padres and Cincinnati weren't that bad, but you lost one of those games against the Reds, gave up three runs.
Yep.
Put the whole thing together. He had an ERA over seven in the month
Almost
of September.
Almost 7.5.
That's not Walker Bueller. So I was under the assumption, and you kept saying, you got to rest this guy. This is very, very obvious. Julio needs rest. Bueller needs rest.
Yep.
You're trying to win a World Series. Stop trying to make this case that winning the NL West is more important than setting these guys up for the postseason.
Right.
Bueller pitched yesterday seven innings. Only gave up three hits. Didn't give up a run. Think had a no-hitter in place until Hosmer took him out. By the way, Hosmer's taken out Scherzer and took him out in that perfect game as well.
You're right.
I thought from a mental perspective for Walker Bueller, okay, I got a freaking good start again. It's been a little bit since I had one of those. Yes, he threw 90 pitches. Trav, if the Dodgers are eliminated by Sunday for the NL, NL West, for the division, right? If they're eliminated before Sunday, now you have a legitimate chance to tell Walker Bueller, you do not need to pitch on Sunday. Just rest now. You had a good start that came under your belt. And, oh, by the way, you're not going to pitch again until game one on Friday because Scherzer is going to go up against the Cardinals. You have 8-9 days rest. So I think you still got to accomplish what you were looking for. And for me, he's still got a good start under his belt. I feel like that combination was the right thing.
I think that's mostly right, but you're leaving out an important part. You keep saying that it was the best-case scenario. It was a good scenario. It was a good outcome. He pitched well, and that's good news. He had not been pitching well, and he did pitch well. Mm-hmm. That's good. But that's not the best-case scenario. What they did by pitching him yesterday was somehow, just through good luck or whatever it might be, they avoided the worst-case scenario. But it was in play. This is what I was trying to avoid. I didn't want that him walking out to the mound last night brought the worst-case scenario into play. That's what I was looking to avoid. It didn't happen. But it doesn't change the idea of what they should have done. I said to you last week after the Colorado thing, the division guys, it ain't happening. And I know that the very next day they had a wild win.
Right, that's,
and
when,
the Padres,
that's when we called you a fugazi and we kept
right,
playing
yeah,
Donnie Brasco the entire time because you sold us a timeshare
absolutely.
That the division was over.
I get that. I get that. And it turned, and then very quickly the other thing happened. It went right back to two, and it's still at two.
Yeah.
San Francisco's playing Arizona's terrible. They're going to play San Diego after that. San Diego, I mean, have you seen a team look less inspired than what you saw last night? I haven't. It looked pretty rotten.
Below 500, like you called out a week ago.
So I hear what you're saying. It wasn't a calamity. It's fine. He pitched well, and that's really good news. But I was not looking to, hey, let's take a step in the right direction. What I'm looking for is I was afraid he was going to get raked. I was afraid that he was going to get clobbered.
But can you do that?
Sure.
Can you have that? It's the equivalent of saying, well, just don't shoot the shot.
No. It's not the same thing as that, because I think the problem is that his gas tank is low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's hurt. I don't think that he forgot how to pitch. I don't think that it's fear. It's none of those
things.
A
little fatigue.
His tank is empty. Mm-hmm. Let's refill the tank.
200-plus innings he's pitched so
far
this year.
And he threw 90 more pitches last night. They didn't refill the tank. They ran it a little bit lower.
This is why I make the case that I'm making. There's enough runway now where he can be out for 10 days.
That's true.
Right?
You're right about that.
Don't pitch him Sunday.
Well, we'll see, right? Because I think we saw something else that happened yesterday. Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Last night was a close game, right? Dodgers are still, air quotes, going for the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where's Kenley Jansen? So it was a 2-0 game going into the ninth inning. And Blake Treinen comes in to pitch. Kenley Jansen has been, here's another thing that I was wrong about.
Yeah.
If we're listing things that I got wrong. I thought that Blake Treinen about a month and a half ago was going to be the guy when we got to the ninth inning. Kenley Jansen's pitched great. Good. This is one I'm happy to have been wrong about. He didn't pitch. They're off on Monday. Okay, he did pitch Sunday. They didn't pitch him on Saturday.
They pitched him, I think, on Friday.
Okay, yeah, so he's been pitching, but he had these every other day. And I think, and this is just Travis Rogers wildly speculating at some things, but this comes back to what you're talking about with Walker Buehler coming up on Sunday. I'm not entirely convinced that there hasn't been a, hey, you let me know when and if you need some time to get ready for the postseason. We're not going to catch these guys. It's not said out loud. It's not, hey, we're guys, bring it in. Everybody listen. We're not going to go for the division anymore. It's not that. It's, hey, Kenley, step into my office for a second. How you feeling? You need a day? You know what? I could use a day. Cool. All right. Let's go get him tomorrow. It's these sorts of things, because that's the game Kenley Jansen pitches. If we're going for it, Kenley Jansen pitches in that game, and especially after trying to give up a home run, you're thinking, okay, what are we doing here? So I think there's some little tells. They're playing Gavin Lux in center field, not because they think he's the center fielder of the future. They're thinking, what are we going to do when we get into a five-game series with the Giants? Who are we going to play him in center field? Is this a project that is workable, or do we have to basically have seven hitters where everybody else has eight? We'll put Cody out there because Cody Bellinger, for all of his offensive struggles, is a really good outfielder. Do we put him out there? Or Gavin Lux? They're tinkering a little, Al.
But
they're not saying they're giving up, but the moves that they're making lead you to believe they're setting something up.
I think, just honestly in this, I think you're looking too much into Treinen coming in yesterday. I do believe that. I think to say that Kenley's not pitching yesterday, which I agree with you, that's his. You give him the ball there.
After a day off?
2-0, you give him the ball there.
After a day off.
But I don't think that should be waving the flag
they're not
trying to finish out and still go for the division.
See, this is the point that I don't think
you have to make tweaks over this
final week.
Just to, like, they're trying to figure out stuff on the Gavin Lux part. I think that's fair.
Implementing the exact plan that I suggested, except for the Walker Buehler part. They're basically saying quietly, hey, do you need a day?
Okay.
You need one? Cool. We'll give you one. Hey, Cody needs a little more time. Okay, cool. We'll do it. You don't need to play in center
field. That's just smart.
It is.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's what
I was suggesting they did last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it last night. It's only they didn't make the announcement. There wasn't an
announcement. But they won, too.
They did. But they very clearly were comfortable with not winning last night without their best pitcher on the mound in that situation. Treinen has been good. Look, Treinen's going to have to pitch the ninth inning of a playoff game. It's going to happen because some of these games are back-to-back. Kenley in back-to-backs is far less effective than he is with some time off in between. He's going to have to pitch this. So I understand there's a ramp-up to this. But if the division is the end-all, be-all, he didn't pitch in that game
last
night.
Can I ask you a question? How come it looks like Treinen's throwing a wiffle ball?
Because he is. It's extraordinary.
Did you see – I'm trying to think here. In the ninth, two outs, you got a runner on second. I'm forgetting who struck out just off the top of my head from the Padres. There was a pitch that he laid off of that kind of started inner, right? Like right inside corner and ended up outside. It was, you know, from a batter's perspective, you're like, wow, what a great eye that he laid off of that. And then the very next pitch, might have been the next pitch, maybe he fouled off another one, started as if it was going to hit the batter and ends up dead center. Is Treinen, literally, the guy's using a wiffle ball.
So there's a account that I love on Twitter. It's Rob Friedman. It's Pitching Ninja. And they do all of the metrics for baseball pitchers, right? It's how much movement, how much velocity, RPM, lateral movement, sink, all of these other things. And the answer to the question is whose ball moves more than Trent? Nobody's really. When he's on top of his stuff, nobody has the ball move more. And
maybe it's Tommy Pham, I think.
As you're describing this, it just enrages me all over again. I'm not doing a radio bit here. I am furious all over again at the Astros. Because what you just described, Al, is pitching. What you just described is, I don't know if this thing's coming right at me. I don't know if it's coming right at me and it's going to break over the plate. I don't know if it's going to come right down the middle and dive out of the strike zone. I don't know if it's going to come down the middle and move in on me because I don't know what's coming. What makes a pitcher effective on the movement, location, velocity, all of these things is fear. I don't know. These guys throw the ball 100 miles an hour. I don't want them to catch that in the mouth. I don't want to catch that in the back of my neck. It's scary. Ball's moving really fast. But if I know going up there.
Oh, it's stupid.
Stupid. I know where this ball is going. Mm-hmm. I know that this ball is going to start at my hip, but that's not where it's going to end up. I can hang in there. I can take it. I know that there's a slide. If I know a slider's coming and I see that ball leave the pitcher's hand over the middle of the plate, that's a ball. Mm-hmm. I don't have to chase that. That's what that's why there was such a crime that was committed against athletics, against competition. That every time you talk about
it's
that,
a dumbest thing.
It brings me right back to that moment of, you've got to be kidding me. It's
but
playing
not,
poker,
not just that.
And I know what's in your hand.
And it's not just that, Trav. It's how, if you're the opponent, how are you okay with that? Like, just kind of think about
if
you're...
Because they thought no one would ever find out. It's as simple as that.
Still, there's nothing... There's nothing fulfilling about that. You know, I'm just using as an example. Let's use the NFL, all right? You know exactly where Tom Brady's going to go. You know where every throw is going to go. You know whether they're going to run or they're going to throw the ball. How boring of a game would that? How unfulfilling would that be? How would you even celebrate that or want to celebrate that? Like, doesn't that sound like an awful, awful scenario? And, you know, you just kind of described it. And that was not my point, was to mention Blake Treinen and just the movement that this guy has on his pitches. But the fact that makes you think of the Astros –
It says
a lot.
It is, I know your cards. You might get better cards than me, and so I'm just going to fold. You might win that hand, but if I know what you have, you're not going to beat me over long term. And that's what it was, and that's why, anyway, this is a mess. The Cardinals are next up.
All right, let me go through today's stat hero of the day. It's Max Scherzer. And I want to make a little comparison here because we're going to spend some time talking about this. Max Scherzer... this will be the pitching matchup versus Adam Wainwright in the one-game playoff that's going to be, obviously coming
Wednesday.
Here.
Week from today.
Week from today. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app, part of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. St. Louis has now won 17 games in a row. What's kind of surprising, yesterday they actually locked in their wild card spot. So it was yesterday that they clinched it. We come back, Trav. Let's look at the last time Scherzer pitched against St. Louis, the last time Adam Wainwright pitched against the Dodgers, what these guys have done in the month of September, because a week from today, unless the San Francisco Giants absolutely fold in their last five games, it will be Scherzer versus Wainwright for a chance to play the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, I think that number, that 17 number, doesn't really scare me at all for the reasons that we're going to give you next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
A week from today, that's the day that the Dodgers will almost certainly play a wild card game at Dodger Stadium against the St. Louis Cardinals. You mentioned that they clinched it. The Dodgers have obviously clinched a playoff spot. There's still a mathematical chance that they could win the West. It's extremely unlikely. Just very quickly going over the math here before we get into the Cardinals. If the Dodgers go 5-0 over their last two games, the Giants would need to go 3-2 for it to end in a tie. The Giants have two more against Arizona, who's only won 52 games all year. Mm-hmm. And then they got the Padres, who have completely thrown in the towel. Yep. So that seems extremely unlikely. And that's if the Dodgers go 5-0. Mm-hmm. If the Dodgers go 5-1, now you need Arizona or you need San Francisco to go 2-3. It's very unlikely that the Dodgers do. If it happens, wonderful. They're going to play in that wild card game.
All right, how nervous would you be in that spot a week from today? You and I would be doing our show. I'm not sure when first pitch would be, but I'm sure they'll make it a 5 o'clock, you know, something along
those lines. Yep.
It'll be at Dodger Stadium. You'll have Max Scherzer on the mound because we already know it because Dave Roberts said he's going to either pitch him 163rd or he's going to pitch him in the wild card. And then you'd have Adam Wainwright for the St. Louis Cardinals who've won 17 games in a row. At one point, I think we're 8-plus games behind the Padres and now have a 9-game lead on the Padres, something along those lines. I know there's other teams in front of the Pods.
Adam Wainwright tweeted something out about FanGraphs had a number like early August that the Cardinals had something like a 1.2 chance percent of making the playoffs, right? And, oh, nobody believed in us. And it wasn't somebody's opinion. It was the math. They've got a freaking website. Yeah, they've got 150 years of data that says if you're in this spot with this much to go, here are the chances that you get. This wasn't somebody saying, you know who sucks? The Cardinals. Okay?
I'll fight science.
Yeah, right? It wasn't somebody's opinion that I think the Cardinals are cooked. It was the math saying you have this percentage. Now, it came in. They won 17 in a row, like you said. We were talking about it the other day. Trav, you're going to be playing a team that's, you know, coming in at the time. I think it was like 14 in a row or 12 in a row or whatever it is. Now it's 17. Who knows what it's going to look? I don't think it's going to be 22 in a row, but it might be. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. But whatever it is, it's going to be a whole lot of winning and virtually no losing over the last, you know, 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And I don't care even a little bit. I care about the format.
I don't believe you.
I don't care even a little
bit.
Nervous.
You'd be nervous.
I'm not.
Of course you would.
Not because of the 17 games.
No.
I'm nervous because of the
format. Partially because of the 17 games.
Not even a little. Not even a little, Al. Let me explain this to you.
Okay.
Okay. As the baseball person, you should know this already, but let me explain this to you. Adam Wainwright is really good, and he's on a heater right now, right? Mm-hmm. So over the last month of the season, when he's been going as good as he's been going in a while, he has an ERA of 3.44. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's striking guys out. He's pitching deep into games a lot of times. He's got an ERA of 3.44 and is pitching really, really well.
That's six starts in September.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Max Scherzer, in five starts in September, has an ERA of 1.32. He has 44 strikeouts in 34 innings. He pitched against the Cardinals just about a month or so ago, pitched eight innings, gave up no runs, didn't walk anybody, struck out 13 guys. Mm-hmm. Okay,
the man.
So you win the pitching matchup on a piece of – and again, the format, scary. The Cardinals, not scary. Because momentum doesn't mean anything when that guy walks out there. Momentum doesn't mean anything when Adam Wainwright walks out there. What it is, let me ask you this. Who's the best player on the Cardinals? That's the right answer. There's nobody that jumps to mind, right? Maybe Paul Goldschmidt. Maybe Yadi Molina, if he's having a good week. Maybe Harrison Bader is having a good week or two. But there's not a, oh, it's him. Okay, probably Paul Goldschmidt, but the hesitancy is what I was looking for.
But this is what I think. I get everything you're saying. It makes all sense what you're saying. There's something about momentum.
Not in baseball.
St. Louis has unbelievable amount of momentum right now. I'm not telling you that the Cardinals got to go beat the Dodgers. They don't have to beat them four times.
I would be just as scared as the Marlins, the Cardinals.
Is what – okay, so is the case you're trying to make, the format scares you, but the Cardinals don't.
Exactly.
So a squad that's won 17 in a row, that's playing good baseball right now, they're playing good baseball at the right time. Mm-hmm. You don't think that has anything to do with
it? I really don't, because Max Scherzer
– I disagree with that.
Max Scherzer wipes that all off the board. You could tell me, hey, Harrison Bader's coming in. He's hitting 400 in his last 20 games.
But weren't you saying this? Weren't you saying that you spent a lot of time over the last month talking about, you know, when it seemed that it could be more realistic that the Dodgers can surpass the Giants in the wild card, as in they still had a chance, or in the NL West.
I gotcha.
You said that Scherzer can pitch and give up one run and they lose 1-0.
That's the format, though. That has nothing to do.
No, but that's one game. That's not a format. That's one game.
Right, but they don't get to stack up all of their wins coming into this game. They're both 0-0. There is no momentum. There is no momentum when you go against a guy that is as good as Max Scherzer.
What's the saying in sports? You got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time.
Yeah, there's also this saying in baseball that your momentum is as good as your next day's starting pitcher. That's the one that they say in baseball. Mm-hmm. And the next day's starting pitcher in this scenario is Max Scherzer.
You and I are not having the argument of would you rather be the Dodgers or the Cardinals?
No, of course. That's,
because
there's no argument
that's
there.
A simple conversation to have. You want to be at Dodger Stadium, which the Dodgers are going to be. You want to have Max Scherzer on the mound, which he's going to be. You want to have Mookie and go down the list of all these great players that represent the Los Angeles Dodgers. But I think you're also whiffing off the Cardinals as if they've done nothing in the past 30 days for you to kind of sit back and stop for a second and say, yeah, that's going to be a scary game to be a part of.
It's a scary game, but not for that reason. For instance, I think what the argument that you're making, I would be more interested in the momentum that the Cardinals have in a series as opposed to one day. Because in a series, it's like, okay, I had a bad day. You know, I went 0-4, but I went 3-4 twice last week. Mm-hmm. I'm swinging the bat well. It doesn't mean you're going to swing the bat that, but I'm in a groove. A series, the momentum, I think, carries over a little more because it's not just who has the better pitcher that. This is basically what we're talking about.
If they beat the Dodgers, as an example, and now they're going up against the Giants, and it's a first one to win
three.
That's
where I think the momentum comes in. That's where I think that, and by the way, You know that's going to happen, right? I sure hope not, but the Cardinals are going to play the Braves in the National League Championship Series, that the Dodgers and Giants, neither one of them are going to get out of that first round.
Somebody's well, it's good the Braves clipped. Were protected in this playoff format. Got to protect the Braves.
It's really something else. Travis Lee is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And then there's this question. Is Gavin Lux going to play center field?
I'll tell you this. Everything's on the table. It's about putting the best players out there to give you the best chance to win. So I think that given Gavin this runway out in the outfield has given us a better look and more options. So I think everything's on the table.
Okay, everything's on the table. That's Dave Roberts talking about whether or not Gavin Lux may play center field. Let me just give you four quick numbers here, and then I want to ask you a question on the back. 2, 3, 2, and 4. Those are the amount of runs that the Dodgers have scored in the last four games. Okay.
Say it again.
2 last night. Or I should say last night was 1, right? So you've got...
No, Dodgers won yesterday 2-1.
I'm sorry. Yep. Right. 1, 2, 2, 4. Okay, they're not scoring. These are the amount of runs that the Dodgers have scored in 2 of them are wins, 2 of them are losses. Okay? They're not scoring. So now the question is, what's more important? And I guess we can talk about it from a one-game scenario, or you can talk about it in a series scenario. You want a guy that's hot at the plate. Gavin Lux has been swinging the bat well. He's getting on base. Cody Bellinger is completely lost at bat.
Yeah.
Completely lost. And it doesn't feel like it's coming around anytime soon. But he's a good outfielder.
Yeah, sure.
Gavin Lux... It's not a good outfielder. I feel comfortable in saying, could you skate through? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Do you want a guy that might get on base once or twice? Or do you want a guy that's going to make the right plays in center field? Because that's the decision that you have to make.
You know what's interesting? Because especially as you give some of the numbers that the Dodgers have had over their last four games, and this has kind of been the Dodgers, their feast or famine, right? They either have a game where they put up 7 runs or they have a lot, 5 runs, or they have a lot of these.
I think they need to see some feasts.
And you have a lot of these where they put up 2. I actually think because part of the scenarios that you played out, the pitching staff that they have, the fact that Scherzer would go in the wild card game, the fact that it's still Bueller and Julio and Kershaw, and I'm not saying that these guys have had a perfect September because they by far have not, and Kershaw still trying to get comfortable coming back from that injury. I think Gavin is the answer. I think you almost have to have – you need
it's
that bat.
It's such a hard question. It's such a hard question. Because when you said it, you lay like, yeah, you're right. What if a routine play happens?
Could lose the game.
And I'm not talking about, you know, running full speed, over-the-shoulder catch, in the gap, turn around, double a guy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a relative, and not just catch a fly ball. He'll catch the fly ball. Mm-hmm. I understand. Maybe. But what I'm talking about is just something that somebody that's been a center fielder for their entire adult life knows how to make and see. No, okay, this ball has to be thrown to second base in this situation. Mm-hmm. Gavin Lux is an infielder. He doesn't know. It's not his fault. But if all of a sudden he throws to the wrong base because he's been playing short his whole life and now he's in center field and you lose because you didn't hit the cutoff man because you threw to the wrong base,
are you taking the pitching and defense, right? Like that's usually the...
I would take the pitching and defense if the rest of the offense weren't scoring 2.5 runs a game.
Because the way you just played out, he can cost you a run by a mistake at center field. But he can also, with two outs in the third inning with a guy on second and third, drive in two runs, and Bellinger cannot.
This is why Dave and Andrew Friedman need to figure out the math. Like, what I need somebody to say, this is why this is .000004 more important than the other thing, because I don't know.
I still love Wainwright fighting the science part of the
You guys
stat.
Didn't believe in us. What, math?
Who
division?
Runs that? Who runs that website?
You don't believe in division? And percentages and probabilities. This isn't an opinion. This is math.
You know, we're you and I are all over the place this Sunday. Do you know how many different things are going on this Sunday? And I know we still got to talk some Rams and kind of the stakes coming up for the Rams and this Cardinals game. But we are going to be everywhere on Sunday because there's a ton going on in LA.
There is a lot going on, and I want to get into it. But I got something that it worries me a great deal. A lot about
you.
You
look like you have a headache.
It's about you. I'm worried for you.
Okay.
It's next. 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So here's what I'm worried about. I mentioned to you that it's busy weekend.
Yeah.
Rams, Cards, Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, Rams, Cardinals.
Uh-huh. 1 o'clock, pregame show starts at 11.
Dodgers, final regular season game for them.
Probably a game that is not terribly important for anybody, but you never know.
Galaxy is going to play LAFC. All this going on in LA.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
Okay, Galaxy, LAFC.
We're missing one.
We're missing the Lakers and the Nets in the first preseason
Lakers,
game of the
Brooklyn.
Year. This starts a, how many did you, 88?
There's 88 games left. The countdown has begun. Just 88 left. And then 20 playoff games.
You have, because look, I do the same thing. Yeah. The Rams have at least 20 games, probably more than that. And it feels like they're going to make the playoffs.
Yep,
and
that means we're December 7th in the NBA schedule.
I'm not sure how you're going to fare those day after Laker games. I'm a little – look, we don't start super early in the morning. We're not the morning show, but, you know, we're all in here a little after 7 getting ready to go. And if you're in here, you know, breaking down Eldon Campbell's performance from 1984, then I'm a little worried about your freshness the
next day.
I'll
be in here at 9:45. 9:45 is when I will stumble in.
What happened in the World Series last night?
Was it on? Did they televise it, or what'd they do?
Hey, did Matt Stafford really throw 6 touchdown passes last night? Really? I didn't see it. I'm a little concerned about your ability to compartmentalize all these things.
Can I tell you something? This is the honest truth. On purpose, I have not given it any thought. I'm like, we'll just have to roll with the punches. You know what I mean? It's like you don't want to know how you feel if you go to the gym, and you're like – you know, you're spending, I don't know, let's say somebody's on, they're running on the,
treadmill?
Running on a treadmill for 45 minutes. You're not thinking about the 40th minute. You're just like, what are the first 5 minutes going to be like? Your heart is just demolished.
And look, get through the preseason, and I'm sure it's all downhill from there. Only 82 to go at that point. And by the way, you didn't even count the playoff games. Lakers are going to go pretty
deep
into the
playoffs.
No, there's
going to be 20
playoff games. Probably.
Yeah, there'll be 20.
Probably could be a lot more than that. They got to win 16. They're probably going to lose more than four.
Do you know what these other pregame hosts don't have to worry about in postgame shows?
Lakers talk?
No. That too. You know what they don't have to worry about? They don't have to worry about playing after April 15th.
That's
right?
True.
Like, that's the end. But I'll tell you what. I'll take – you and I were there yesterday.
It was awesome.
It's going to be a damn exciting season. And that's the great part about kind of the position that the Lakers are in. And even us as a station carrying the Lakers broadcast.
Absolutely.
Bro, they are stacked.
Seeing all those – look, this is setting up really well. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, like you mentioned, the Rams are off to a great start. The Dodgers are about to start a playoff run. It may last a game.
USC looks great.
Yeah, that looks super. That looks super. Maybe they can give up 50 points to, I don't know, who else is terrible in the Pac-12? Oregon State already
UCLA hammered
them.
UCLA is on
Colorado.
A one-game winning streak.
Yeah, that too. But the Dodger playoff run could be a game. It could be a lot longer than that. We don't know. The Rams thing, though, feels real. And you're going to get a really good look at it this Sunday. There's three things on the line, right? First place in the division.
Yeah.
Okay? Somebody's leaving 4-0 with a win over the other guy in division. Arizona's going to be 4-0 with a 1-0 division record, or the Rams are going to be 4-0 with a 1-0 division record. So you lead the division. Also, whoever wins that game is at the tip of the spear in the conference. I don't know if the Cardinals win the game. Everybody's saying, oh, they're better than the Rams. They're better than Tampa. They're better than Green Bay. I don't know if that, but they're certainly positioning themselves just from a record-wise of being in that mix. And then there's the personal, right, Al? Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray are virtually – even picks for MVP at this point. Their odds are virtually identical. David Carr's in there too. But all these guys are at the top. There is a ton on the line in this game. And look, the Rams have crushed
Arizona.
The Cardinals since Sean McVay's been here. Mm-hmm. This feels a little different for both sides.
I was talking about this last week when the Rams were about to play Tampa. And I thought, you know, to myself, listen, if Tampa wins the game, not that big of a deal. If Tampa loses the game, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I thought the Rams needed the W more than Tampa. Now, how the Rams won,
right,
that changed kind of the conversation. Now the conversation, but and I still think Tampa's fine. They'll figure it out. Last season they started 7-5 and they got hot at the right
time. Fire. I think they're okay.
But what it did do is it really raised where you, however you thought of the Rams, you could not have walked away last week not raising the bar of like, oh, man, this is real deal, legit. How are these guys? We might have the squad. This might be it. I mean, this might be the best team in the NFL. It started that conversation.
You know, it's funny you say that because it's exactly what if there's, I don't know, it happens in baseball every once in a while. It certainly happens in basketball, and I think it happened on Sunday at SoFi. There's that moment where you go, oh, this just isn't a good start. They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good. Now, the variables that exist in sports, they always exist. And an injury, a bad bounce, we get it.
Sure.
But this does not feel like a, hey, if we can just fix blank, it's going to be – it's like, you know what, these guys are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like on Sunday. We knew that they were good. We knew that there was an upgraded quarterback. We knew that they'd – you know, DeSean Jackson, all the things that we knew. Okay, that looks better. But it was, oh, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that moment with the Rams, I think, on Sunday. And if they do it again – this Sunday, I think it just – because every power ranking and top 10 and all these things, everybody's got the Rams on the top.
I'd be surprised, you know, if we walked away after Sunday, even if it's a close game and Arizona won, I'd be surprised. I would. This is just my thought process coming off of that game, coming off the win. Like you mentioned, Sean McVay has absolutely dominated Arizona.
Hasn't lost to him.
Arizona's got off to a 3-0 start. Was their first win. This is the one they got at Tennessee.
At Tennessee.
I think that's an incredibly impressive win and probably not talked about enough. That was a great way for them to start. Then they beat the Vikings. Remember that game that was just going back and forth?
Yep.
I want to say 34-33.
Yep.
But I'd be
surprised. Then they fell behind Jacksonville and kind of pulled it out of their ear.
And came back. I'd be surprised if the Rams lost that game. But I think – this can kind of go to the next level that you're referring to. You go get another one of those 34-20 win, right? You get another one of those. It's just going to obviously add to the allure a little bit. But this is kind of the beauty that the Rams are in,
it's all great what you do in the regular season. None of it's really going to ultimately matter if you sputter in the playoffs, you know, early on. But they could put themselves in a position where they just start taking control of the division, just start taking control of their opponents in front of them.
The three teams in town that have championship aspirations, the Rams, the Dodgers, the Lakers. Is there one that is more necessary than the others?
It's a ridiculous conversation, too.
Because they're all in the mix, right? There's no – the Lakers aren't like, I don't know, if they catch every – no, they're one of the favorites. The Dodgers are one of the favorites. The Rams at this point are one of the favorites. Mm-hmm. Is there one that if they didn't get there, you'd be like, yeah, I kind of get it. It doesn't feel like it does there. They feel like they're all supposed to be there.
I'm trying to think here. Let's say the Dodgers lost. They lost that wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a freaking game that if they lost it that way, you'd be like, what the hell are you supposed to do? You know, like here they are.
Especially they went 100-plus games.
Yeah. But if they lost, let's say, to the Giants or they got even further and they lost, I think the further they get, the more you're like, well, they're expected to win now. I mean, 100%. You just got to get past that one game. The Lakers, if you're healthy, that there's no conversation of, well, if this happens, if you're healthy, it better be a ticket to the NBA Finals and then see what happens with you in Brooklyn. And by the way, Brooklyn's good enough to where they can beat anybody too. I mean, it's not like you just get to the finals and it's a guaranteed lock you're going to win it all. The Rams are interesting because Dodgers just got one, Lakers just got one.
Yeah.
And here are the Rams going all in as they've gone the last couple of years too.
After just being in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Yeah. I know they didn't punch the ticket, but this is not out of nowhere that they were in the Super Bowl three Super Bowls ago. This isn't ancient. This isn't Pat Hayden or Vince Ferragamo or Jim Everett. This is
You know what happened before that Super Bowl game started? Tom Brady won two Super Bowls in that span.
Lakers, right? Doesn't make
How
any
stupid.
Sense. It's indescribable. All right, the dump is coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
There are a lot of things about you that I would have guessed right, but your unending fear of robots, I would have never gotten to. I like that about you.
Doesn't scare you at all?
Oh, look, it's just on a long list of things that scare me. It's pretty much over.
This is what I don't like. What I don't like is humans taking video of them. Like, hey, do a cartwheel, and they do a cartwheel. Hey, do a backflip, and they do a backflip. I'm like, you guys understand that it's going to be in a very, very short order where they're going to be asking us to do the cartwheel and the backflip.
Now you do it.
And then churn us off and we go into a little...
The Matrix, basically. That's what happens
scary.
At that point. What's going on like tomorrow or Friday? I feel like we should do another media day. I really enjoyed myself yesterday. I'd like to interview
LeBron once a week. Emily, reach out to Lakers PR and just let them know we are ready for another media day. But we want to do it during practice.
Yeah, there you go. Live from practice. Just once a week.
Same corner that we are in.
Yeah, we'll wear our masks.
That's it.
We got it covered. Right now, it is time for the dump. All right, Al, this is not the least bit surprising, but still, when you see the numbers, it's pretty remarkable. According to Vivid Seats, a fan forecast on Vivid Seats, the ticket app, right? 74% of the fans attending Monday Night Football at SoFi Stadium between the Raiders and the Chargers are going to be in silver and black. 74%.
Love the Raiders. Sign me up. I'm a silver and black guy this weekend. I might have been in Kansas City this past Sunday and my Chiefs lost. It's not a surprise. It's not
it's
a shock.
Really not.
I will say this about the Chargers. As much as I have my hate on the Chargers,
that's the first time I've ever heard you use that word.
Pretty good team.
You don't use hate very often. I like that. What else do you hate?
Pretty good team. The Clippers. No. Listen. Let me say this.
It's a pretty good team. They just walked into
KC,
Kansas City, and got that win. If there's one thing, and I know this is going to sound a little, you know, a little odd here, I think the Chargers, they're kind of getting accustomed to this whole, no, we don't have home games.
It might serve them well in a weird way. They kind of lean into it a little bit. Like, look, this is our lot here,
okay,
and this
let
is
me
fine.
Ask you, let me ask you this question. Tougher environment to go into, okay? At Kansas City or at SoFi in the heart of L.A. where there's a ton of Raider fans?
I don't think it's even close, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's SoFi.
It's KC.
No, KC.
That's a tougher environment.
It's
as in this game is 74% of Raider fans being at this game.
Yeah,
it's awkward, but you're going to have more Charger jerseys.
You got 26% of the people on your side?
You're not having that in KC.
I hear what you're saying, but when you go on the road, you expect to have a hostile crowd completely against you.
Yeah.
Presumably, if you wake up in your own bed and drive to the stadium, there shouldn't be, you know, three out of every four people in the building wearing a Darth Vader mask.
What
that
is this
feels
like? Is
weird.
Is this like the equivalent of like living through Airbnb or something? Like every time you're like, oh, time to go home. Nope, you're going to another somebody else's house.
Love.
Nope, you're going to somebody else's house.
Love Airbnb. All right. Speaking of tickets,
yeah,
a get in the cheapest ticket to get in to see Tom Brady return to Gillette Stadium to play in the Patriots against the Patriots this week, $450. Now, if you want to sit right behind the Tampa Bay bench, it's a little over $5,000, which is pretty expensive. If you want to sit behind the Patriots bench,
about
$1,500.
Yeah,
it's $1,500. Those numbers feel about right. People want to go celebrate Tom Brady.
Okay, let me throw this out there. If think of a Laker legend, Laker great. Now this is different because Magic and obviously Kobe only rocked the purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
But if you grew up in Boston and obviously Tom Brady is your guy, I'm dropping $500 if it's the cheapest ticket to get in, so I could go watch Tom Brady return to Gillette Stadium, have a chance, and there's going to be many moments of this. It's not going to be about who wins the game for the Patriots. It's going to be about Tom Brady. How many different times do you think there's going to be this ovation that goes out for Tom Brady? It's a cool environment atmosphere that you may never get to witness again.
Keep in mind, too, it's not just his return. It's not just the Bill Belichick piece, which is incredibly interesting for sure. He's going to break the all-time passing record on that game. He's only a handful of yards behind Drew Brees. He's going to go past Drew Brees. They're going to stop the game. There's going to be a ceremony. There's going to be not only is it going to be a Tom Brady party because he's back, it's going to be the moment he threw for more yards than anyone in history.
Let me put a little more context to this. Forget that. Forget the Belichick part. Forget all that. This is a freaking living legend that had six Super Bowls for the Patriots. A chance to be there to see him one more time, this time against your squad. Like, it's a really unique game that I'm sure it means a lot for those that are in that area.
Yeah, there's a new book coming out, too. Seth Wickersham from ESPN is writing a book about kind of the inside the Patriot universe. It's kind of an inside look, how secretive they are and all those things. Do you care about the secret sauce of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and how they conducted their business for years and years? And I don't mean that it wouldn't be interesting, but hey, look, it obviously works. Do you need to know how the sausage is made inside that building?
I'm fascinated by organizations like that. I'll use the Spurs as an example. They might be a boring franchise. Bro, they go to work, and I respect how successful they were over the years. I think there's something about – let me just use, like, baseball examples. The Cardinals is a great organization that the market that is not that top market that has all the money but find ways to still be successful, I think it's a good story.
It's interesting. I only want the Belichick story if there's a bunch of dirt. I only want it if there's a story about Brady and Belichick secretly hated each other's guts.
You
that
hate
would
the
be
boring guys. I have a little interest
in
the boring guys.
I don't
want
to know that. You know what they do? They have this metric that they use to scout players. I don't care about that. I want to know, you know what? Tom Brady woke up every morning and said, if I have to see that guy's face one more time, I'm going to puke. That's what I want.
Let's have Funches watch everything before we watch it to give us a preview of it.
Do you know who Salt Bae is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so Salt Bae, the high salt restaurateur chef guy, his new restaurant has an $850 steak. He had a receipt that went for a little over $2,400 this weekend. You're gonna go big. You're gonna go big with an $850 tomahawk steak.
Can I tell you something? I think this is gonna hurt his brand. This is stupid. This is genuinely stupid. I think this is gonna hurt him. I'm looking at the receipt right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is in euro, so you go ahead and do the math. A giant tomahawk steak was €630. Come on, man.
What is that, $800 and some odd bucks?
Come on. I'm going to Mastro's 7 different times to go get their steak before I'm going to your steakhouse once. I think this kind of hurts the brand when you do things like this. This is unreasonable. A hamburger, what was it they had on the hamburger? $100 euro hamburger. Come on.
Yeah,
This is stupid.
It's stunt eating, right? I'm celebrity chefs and all these things. Like I don't want to name drop here.
11 euros for a Red Bull. Go to 7-Eleven. It's $1.29. What are you doing?
It's stunt. It's a stunt. I ate there. Yeah, great.
These guys are paying for the show, huh?
But
you're paying for the show. You're paying to tell people I went there. You're paying to post it on Instagram. You're paying to post it.
I hate
it
all. I can't tell you how much I hate
so many things in this segment. This is great.
I'm just telling you that the show part of it and all that, and you're overcharging your customers. That just does not sound like a good idea. You know where you and I would go to an authentic taco shop, sit there, grab a cola or horchata, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, give me a cold Mexican Coke and 3 tacos, 3 different types, little lime, cilantro, and onion. Let's go. I'm going to do it. How do people find the pod if they want to do
it? All right, ESPN app or on iTunes. You could catch the full 3 hours now. So obviously, Travis and I going from 10 to 1, 9:55 to 12:55. I put it up there yesterday, too. If you missed any of our time at training camp yesterday, all the interviews, whether it was LeBron with Carmelo, Anthony Davis, all of them are on the podcast.
You can also
as well.
See a lot of that on my Instagram feed with me, with LeBron, and me with Anthony Davis. You were there too, but I tagged you in the picture, so you can see.
Anytime
that as well.
You needed water, I grabbed you a cup of water.
I just want to really quickly kind of go over all the things you hated in one segment. You hate the Chargers, you hate the Clippers, and you hate Salt Bae. That's a lot of hate. For one segment, that's quite a few things to hate, Al.
Not going to lie to you. I don't take any of it back. None of it. You know, sometimes you get a chance to think about it and say, Are you sure you feel this way? I'm very positive I feel that way.
I don't know if this says anything good about me, but I like you more now. I liked you heading into the show, but now that I know that you
hate things. $800 steak?
It's aggressive. It's not
it's
for
a
me.
Mortgage.
Yeah, it's not. It's a really, really, really nice car payment. Like a really nice.
Yeah,
car
I don't know
payment,
where that's a mortgage.
What are you gonna do? Yeah, not in L.A. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Mason in Ireland is coming up next. Travis Lee tomorrow morning, 9:55. We got our picks against the spread. I'll win again. We'll see you then.